tone the light down just a bit.
This may not be what you think it is. You might think you know what this is, but that might not be what this is. This is life, power, hope for tomorrow, change for today. This changes everything. It could be closer than you think. It might be right in front of you. Look closely. You don't want to miss this.
The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. How many of you, when you hear the word ghost, it just kind of, it kind of gives you a little bit of the heebie-jeebies. It kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of, ooh, I don't know about ghosts. And I'm using some King James language this morning. When I say Holy Ghost, that's the way the translators of the King James Version back in 1611 best understood to translate the word pneuma, which I'll tell you a little more about that in just a moment, because some of you this morning, I want to talk about this is that. And over the next 4 weeks at least, I want to bring up some fairly controversial subjects that are really important. And maybe you've had some misunderstandings, maybe you've had some misconceptions, and maybe, just maybe, with a heart to receive and ears to hear and eyes to see, you might see something in God's Word over these next weeks that change how you live your life, how you understand this world we live in, your worldview. And the Holy Spirit is incredibly important. There's nothing we could talk about that's more important to begin with. And I want to start with a scripture passage. Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bible, starting in verse 12 is our passage. It says this, amazed and perplexed. Everybody say that with me, amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, well, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is that. Everybody say it with me. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. I want to read it twice just to get it through to you this morning. Sometimes we reject things because we don't understand them. Quite honestly, we can only grow to the place of our comfort with understanding something, knowing something. So when there's a misunderstanding and a mischaracterization or a misconception, oftentimes we keep things at a distance. We tend to stay away from things that we fear or that we don't understand. Nothing could be worse for us as believers in Jesus Christ than to reject the ministry, not fully receive the ministry, not fully benefit from the ministry of the Holy Spirit here on this earth. This is that. Peter is standing up and saying, you know what, this isn't exactly what you thought it was. This is something else, and it's really, really, really good. And don't miss it. Do not miss it. Listen, Kim's a good example of this. I got to tell you the story of Kim real quick. Kim came to this church, and she'd come from a religious background, but also an abusive background, and had been scarred and marred in some pretty significant ways. But she was just a beautiful young lady, and she came to New Song, and you know, she had been accustomed to rules and religion, which is legalism, which oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I find a lot of people today that have washed out of the church, a lot of people that have been hurt and bruised because of rules and religion. And they didn't know relationship. They didn't know God's true heart for them. Kim's a great example of this. She struggled. She came in, and rules and religion are not a good combo. But you know what? I watched the New Song family love Kim. She came to church one time, absolutely stone dead drunk in a tube top. Not exactly the most appropriate way to come to church, but hey, you know what? Come as you are, because Jesus can change who you are and make you into who he wants you to be. She came in drunk, and she wasn't rejected. She wasn't shamed. She wasn't condemned. I watched as some of our ladies gathered around her, loved on her, prayed over her in the power of the Holy Spirit. She was hurting and struggling, and God did such an amazing work deep down in within her that she was totally transformed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and today she's a pastor's wife. Is that cool or what? And she goes, she has a ministry that she absolutely is passionate about, going into the women's prisons and preaching to the ladies who are held in bondage just like she was at one time before the Holy Spirit came and set her free. Listen, this is that, folks. Some of you came here and you'd never had an experience with the Holy Spirit, but you were open to it, but you weren't sure about it. But now you've come to understand just how powerful, how precious the relationship that you and I can have with the Holy Spirit is in your life. It's funny to me because people love God the Father. People love Jesus the Son. We got all kinds of movies. You can kind of get an idea of who Jesus was and how he kind of went about doing things. But the Holy Ghost, we get scared. We kind of tremble in not a good way, and it's scary to us. But let me just tell you this morning, he is not an it. He is a person. He is a person, and the reason this is so important for you to get this morning is because if you understand he's a person, then you will begin to relate to him personally. If he's an it, if he's spooky, if he's a ghost, if he's, you know, something that is something we're just totally not familiar with, it's hard for us to relate to. This is why Jesus came to this earth, right? And related to us on our basis so we would understand and know. And the Holy Spirit's a person, and he wants to personally relate to you, know you, help you, be there for you. And this is so important. See, the King James translation translated ghost for the word pneuma, but it was an incorrect, quite honestly, an incorrect translation. You know what pneuma actually means? It means spirit. It means breath. Let me just give you maybe some mind-blowing thoughts about the Holy Spirit, okay? He's a breath of fresh air. Anybody ever been in a place before? I just had this experience not long ago. I was in a meeting and sitting in a room, and it was all good and everything, but after a while, it just gets stuffy. And when a break came, first thing I did, beeline to outdoors where it was beautiful and the sun was shining and the wind was blowing. And I just went outside and just took a deep breath of fresh air. It felt so good. Anybody ever gotten a breath of fresh air and you were like, man, that's nice. That's nice. There's something invigorating about it as that fresh air fills your lungs. The Holy Spirit's a breath of fresh air, literally. It's literally God's breath on your life. And when God breathes on you, life comes into you. Here's another picture. Let me give you another picture that maybe you've never related to the Holy Spirit. He's the wind in your sails. Anybody ever had the privilege of going out and being on a sailboat or a catamaran? And the wind comes and the captain or the person steering the ship knows exactly how to adjust that mast to catch that wind so that the boat is propelled forward. The Holy Spirit's a breath of fresh air. The Holy Spirit is God's breath on you. The Holy Spirit is the wind in your sails that will direct you and guide you. He's not a ghostly, spooky thing. He's refreshing. He's encouraging. He's empowering in your life. And he's something that you should stop doing this with. And you should absolutely receive fully in your life. You should say to God, God, I want everything you have for me. And I trust you when you say that you want to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. That I need your Holy Spirit. I absolutely want more of him in my life. One of the things I come out of the sabbatical with is just a fresh dependence daily on the Holy Spirit. Listen, I've walked a lot of my life, you know, kind of in the spirit, kind of in the flesh. And I've done things and said things I shouldn't have. And it was because I was leaning on my flesh, not leaning in the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit's not in it and the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. How many of you have met a few of those? If you haven't, that might be you then. People are weird, but the Holy Spirit's not weird, okay? Nobody in their right mind would say, you know, I don't want any more of the power of God in my life. I hope you wouldn't say that. But you know what people have a challenge with? Is not what's in the package, but the packaging. Some of us have seen some packaging along the way of the Holy Spirit that quite honestly turned us off. I've seen that. I used to work at a Christian bookstore long ago. It's where I met this beautiful woman that God placed in my life, which I'm very thankful for every day of my life. And I'll never forget a lady from my church came in, and here I am. I'm behind the cash register doing all my little thing there, clicking away and ringing somebody up, and this lady decides to start talking to somebody right there. I think it might have been one of my staff members, I don't remember exactly, about the Holy Spirit, starts trying to pray for them right there in the store. You know, I didn't want to quench the Holy Spirit, but I kind of wanted to say, stop, this is weird. There's an appropriate time and place. It's not right here when we're trying to check out at the store. Sometimes we've just been weirded out by the packaging, but listen, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Please don't do that. You and I desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hey, I got to show you something here real quick. While we were on our sabbatical, it was a real blessing that I got to take Tracy to some places but she hadn't been to. And Amy Simple McPherson, who founded the Four Square Church, one of her famous books was called This Is That. And it's this exact scripture passage that we're using this morning. In the left-hand corner is her house she lived in for 14 years, right next to Angelus Temple. Down below it is Angelus Temple, the biggest church in its day and time. It's an amazing feat. It's an incredible story of faith. Right next to it's Echo Park, which is right across the street from Angelus Temple. And there's her book, by the way. And oh, I know some of you thought that was Amy behind the pulpit, but that's Miss Tracy behind Amy's pulpit. And engraved on Amy's pulpit was, sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And then he's my inner voice. Holy Spirit is my inner voice. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit a lot at the Last Supper in John 16:8. He says, when he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. I can't even tell you the number of times in my life, and listen, I wish they were more, but I can't even tell you the number of times that the Holy Spirit has just whispered in my ear, you shouldn't do that. It wouldn't be good. I mean, there's so many times I've just about said something or just about done something that would have been destructive, that would not have been life-giving, and that little whisper of the Holy Spirit, don't do that. See, God's really faithful, and he wants to guide us. He really wants to have this personal relationship that makes a practical impact in the way you live your life. This isn't just theoretical. This isn't just, you know, pie in the sky stuff. This is about a real relationship with a real God. Holy Spirit says, you shouldn't do that. It wouldn't be good. He convicts, but he never condemns. There's a big difference. One's for your protection. The other, quite honestly, will lead to your destruction. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. I want to hear his voice. So many times he's caught me right before I was about to step in it, quite honestly. Just a small internal whisper. Don't say that. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can't even confess Jesus as Lord. You can't even make him Savior of your life without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts you. The Holy Spirit knocks on the door of our heart. The Holy Spirit is a nudge. The Holy Spirit is a whisper. It literally takes that leaning in to begin to be sensitized to his voice, to his promptings. Secondly, he's my teacher. You know, he'll teach you the Word of God without having to go to Bible school. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Everything I've said to you, that's the Bible. That's the New Testament. He's going to remind you. He will teach you. 1 John 2:27 says, but you've received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Holy Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. If you carved out enough time to sit with God alone, with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I go to the school of the Holy Spirit every morning. And my textbook is the Bible. And my handy companion is my coffee mug. Because I love Jesus, Java, and journaling. Amen? But I'm in the school of the Holy Spirit, sitting there in my favorite chair, opening the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to bring it alive. You ever read the Word and it didn't come alive? Oh, man, it can be a little crusty. But listen, when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it's so awesome to have the very author of the Word sitting right there with you, guiding you into the Word, showing you things you never saw, convicting your heart where you need it. He's our teacher, and He's a faithful, faithful teacher. He's also my guide. You ever been trying to figure out what to do in your life? You need the Holy Spirit. It's His job. If you'll invite Him to do it, listen, He's really good at it. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on His own. He'll speak only what He hears, and He'll tell you what is yet to come. I had a situation just about a week or so ago where, quite honestly, I really needed the Holy Spirit's prompting, guidance, direction. Because it was a dicey situation. It was a difficult situation. And I didn't want to step in it like I've done so many times. I wanted to be sensitive. I wanted to do the right things because I wanted to see the right outcome. And I just found myself, even under my breath, saying, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, speak to me. And I began to just sense the way the Lord wanted me to deal with the situation. And it was very different than I would have dealt with it in the past in my flesh. And the outcome's been much, much better because of just leaning in and listening. Listen, He wants a personal relationship with you that's going to make a practical difference in your life. I love this verse, Isaiah 30:21. It's been one of my favorite verses for many, many, many years. I love it. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. In fact, we have a little card with that verse right over our stove. We see it often. Just one of those daily verses. Man, I want to hear your voice, Lord. Remember, He's that wind in your sails. He's also that voice behind you. I heard a story one time about a blind skier. And literally there are these blind skiers who just love to ski, but they can't see. And oftentimes the way they do it, they'll go to major mountains and they'll ski down these things, but they have a guide behind them who has been trained to give them just the directives they need. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. Stop. Whatever it might be. And literally, they have special vests on, and this happens on the major mountains in our country. And they make it all the way down the hill successfully because they're having a voice behind them, speaking to them, just like the Holy Spirit wants to personally speak to you day in and day out. He's my friend. John 14:16 says, and I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Man, I talk to Him constantly throughout the day before meetings. I'm just asking Him for His counsel, for His wisdom, for His guidance, for His comfort, for His direction. The word is parakletos in the Greek. And it's two words, you know, para coming alongside, and kletos is to help. The Holy Spirit literally is a person called alongside to help you. And the picture is this, and I love this picture. Man, I love this picture. I wish I had a really big log or something to show you this and demonstrate this to you. But if there was a huge log right here that was quite honestly too heavy for me to pick up on my own. It's really big. And quite honestly, it's like a railroad tie. Anybody ever tried to pick up a railroad tie? Man, those things are heavy. And if I reach down and try to pick this thing up, I'm going to really struggle. But if we reach down together and pick this thing up, oh, I love that picture. It's literally a word picture in the Greek. It's that helper who comes alongside of you to help pick up the other side of the log. Because you can't do it on your own in your own power. But He'll help you, and with His power, you can do more than you could ever do. See, I don't want to live a life that when I get to the end of it, it's just all about what I can do. Goodness. The men and women who've changed this world were ones who were absolutely abandoned to and desperate for and dependent upon the Holy Spirit, who came alongside and did more than they could ever do. Some translations, when it comes to translating this word Holy Spirit, or I'm sorry, this word Comforter, counselor here in John 14, 16. He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Some translations use counselor, some use helper, some use friend, some use advocate. That, you know, that covers a pretty good gamut. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to say something with me. And I want you to make it a declaration today. And I want you to mean it from your heart. I have a counselor. Everybody say it. I have a counselor. I have an advocate. I have a comforter. I have a helper. I have a friend. I have a teacher. It's the Holy Spirit. He wants to do all those things in and through your life. Are you keeping him like this? I mean, be honest with me. Have you been a little bit scared, a little bit freaked out about the whole concept? Or are you inviting him close? Are you really leaning into him? By the way, another thing I love about this passage is when Jesus says these words, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. There's two different Greek words for another. One is another of the same kind. The other is another of a different kind. This just happens to be allos, which means another of the same kind. How many of you think it would have been really cool to walk with Jesus during his days on earth? Well, guess what? You get to do that. In fact, there's one passage that literally describing the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You get to walk with Jesus, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And there's something really powerful about that. And if Jesus was alongside of you and you'd lean over and ask him, you know, if he was right there in the flesh and you'd, Lord, I need a little wisdom. I need a little direction. Man, I'm really hurting right now. I need a little comfort. If he was there in the flesh and you would ask him, you should be asking the Holy Spirit. Perfect, just kind of test. If you'd ask Jesus, if he was walking alongside you, you ought to be asking the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Man, I want you to get this passage. I want you to look at it. I want you to circle it. I want you to underline it. I want you to highlight it. Probably need to even memorize it. Listen to this. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You say those two words, intimate friendship? That's what he wants with you. Are you having that with him? Ephesians 4:30 says this, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit, listen, by the way, when we sin, it's not about God wanting to smash us and he's upset with us and he doesn't like us. He's going to bring the hammer down on us. No, our sin is just, it's just us choosing to live outside of his grace, his provision, his love for us. That's really what sin is. And it breaks his heart. You ever think about that? When you sin, when I sin, I think about that a lot of times. Lord, I know that hurts your heart because I just chose to do it my way and I didn't lean into you. I didn't look to you. I didn't think about how you'd want to provide for me in this situation. I didn't submit that to you. I just kind of did my own thing. I'm sorry. Sorry for hurting your heart, Lord. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life. There it is again, the word intimate. I love that. Making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Oh my goodness. Maybe you and I have been taking him for granted. This is powerful stuff. It's not complicated. Let me end by showing you three powerful prayers that I think you and I need to pray. First is, Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, show me. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, 27 says, I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, I want you to notice that word move. It's a pretty important word. See, when God's spirit is resident in your life and invited into your life on a daily basis, he's going to move you to do the right thing. And that's really freeing in when you begin to think of it from this perspective. You don't just have to gut it out through your own willpower. The Christian life's not meant to be lived in your willpower. The Christian life isn't meant to be lived through your flesh, somehow trying to look righteous and act godly. No, you'll fall short of that every time. The Christian life can only be lived through the power of Christ, which is His Spirit at work in you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive in you. He'll move you to do the right thing. Wouldn't that be nice? God moving in you to do the right things? Instead of always getting tripped up in temptation, always taking that wrong path, always giving in to that bondage, that destructive habit in your life. Man, a prayer I pray from Scripture, and I want to show it to you, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I love this passage. It's David, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Notice what he prays. These are good prayers to pray. Search me. Know my heart. Test me. Lead me. You know what the key to growing a big people is? This is one of the things I'm passionate about. I really don't care how big our church is. What I care about is how big our people are. What I care is about how big you are in your faith, in your relationship, in your walk with God. Listen, you know, I'm not up here. I am not up here to preach at you week in and week out, to obey all the rules, obey all the regulations, and please, 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 whatever you do, behave yourself for another week. This is not about sin management. This is about the Spirit of God alive in you. Here's what I want. I want to teach you how to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit so you can experience the beauty and the adventure and the power of the Christian life yourself. That, to me, is the key to having a big people, so that you'd lean in, you'd listen to the whispers, you'd ask the Holy Spirit to show you the things that need changing in your life. In fact, this is the second prayer I think you should pray. Holy Spirit, change me. When He begins to show you things in your life, ask Him to help you change them. This is how you grow. You do not grow by staying the same. You grow by changing. The Holy Spirit is so good at pointing out those areas of our life that need changing. I used to think, I was a young Christian, you know, just a young guy. I used to think, why doesn't the Holy Spirit show me more things? Listen, now I'm an older Christian and I go, thank you, Lord, you didn't show me all my junk at once, because it was a lot. I might have been overwhelmed if I'd seen it all. But man, every day as I seek Him, He's faithful to show me things. There's stuff He's working on my life right now. They're kind of, you know, I might call them fine-tuning things, but they're still important things. Ask Him to show you, and then ask Him to change you, because He has the power to do that. I don't go around pointing out people's sin. It's not my job. You know why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, and He knows how to do it a whole lot better than I do. Somebody says, well, what do you think about this? You know, and they're... I used to spend a lot of time on the streets of downtown Louisville, and I'd have some pretty rough stuff shoved right in my face or whatever. You know, what do you think about this drink, you know? Well, He cares about you first. I'm not worried about that. I'm not in the job of sin management. I'm not in the job of going around telling people how they ought to act or behave. I'm in the job of introducing people to the God who can change them from the inside out. And I'll just let Him do His work on them in His way and in His time. Listen, it's so important that you don't stay where you started. You know, one of the saddest things is to see 20-year-old infant Christians, 20 years old in their faith, but they've repeated the same year over and over and over again. They've never grown. They've stayed right where they started. There's been no change. There's been no transformation. Let me just say, I think it's one of the reasons Christianity gets a bad rap oftentimes. It's one of the reasons some people stay away from the church because they go, you know what? It's nothing. It's filled with nothing but hypocrites. And if you're not careful, it's easy to become legalistic. It's easy to start grabbing onto rules and regulations when you're not walking personally with God, when you're not in a relationship with Him. You make it about rules and regulations, and then you turn around and try to make it for somebody else about rules and regulations. And that's legalism. Listen, free people, free people. Did you get that? Let me say it one more time because it's pretty profound, right? Free people, free people. Maybe you've heard it this way. Hurt people, hurt people. That's true too. But how about you and I being free in Jesus so that we can help other people find some freedom? Not so we're over here pointing out their sin. Not so that we're making them feel ashamed. Not so that we're going around condemning them, pointing a finger at their face, doing all that jazz. But so that we're helping lead them to the one who can beautifully transform their lives into His plan and purpose. We got to take spiritual steps. We got to keep growing in our faith. By the way, Growth Track is back. I'm so excited about that. Starting on September 16th, we're going to do Growth Track Fast Track. No better way for you to become a part of what God's doing here at New Song, become a member of the church, find a way to plug in and serve than through the Growth Track. How many of you here today would say this? I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Man, I'm raising both of my hands on that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who's the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. Man, that ought to be our prayer. Holy Spirit, make me more and more and more and more and more like Jesus, so that there's less of me showing and more of Him glowing, so that people can see His light and His love. Ask Him, give permission, folks, to Him, and He will do it in your life. And lastly, Holy Spirit, fill me. In other words, give me everything You've got for me. Some of us, because of our religious backgrounds or whatever, and I was almost one of those, we kept the Holy Spirit at bay. We kept the Holy Spirit, you know, we kept our arms stiff-armed. We were afraid. We couldn't understand it. We couldn't quite explain it. But, you know, I got to the place where I was desperate. God, give me everything You've got for me. You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many of you would think here today that you already have everything God has to offer you? I don't think it'd be many hands going up, if we're really honest. Listen, if the Holy Spirit doesn't fill you, you know what will happen inevitably? You'll try to do the Christian life in your own power, and that's when we really muck it up. That's when we really, you know, turn people off. That's when, you know, that church is full of hypocrites, because we're trying to do it on our own power instead of doing it the way God told us to do it in the first place, which is to have that intimate relationship with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit Himself. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Boy, there's a good scripture, by the way. Getting drunk on wine has an ultimate path. It takes you down. It's not a good choice. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't follow your senses. Don't try to do this in your own flesh. Follow God. Acts 13:52, it says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I believe, and we'll talk more about this at some time in the future. There's one baptism, and there's many fillings of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that absolutely opens us up to receiving everything God has for us is what I like to call profound humility. I believe profound humility is a key to the things of God. Listen, when it comes to seeking God, there's no place for arrogance. There's no place for pride. I need God's power. When I was a young person and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I needed His power so desperately, and I was desperate for it, and I still need it every day. Every day I need the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. And some of you have struggled because you've had this weird little thing in your mind. Well, you know, there's people that say you've got to have this and you've got to do that. Listen, here it is, right in front of you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. But here's what it does. It makes me better than me. And I ought to want, desire deeply everything he has for me. I hope that you've, you know, even as we prayed over you this morning, that eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to receive, I believe the Lord wants something so precious and powerful for you that perhaps you haven't ever stepped into. Listen, this week, beside your bed, this week, in your closet, wherever, I don't care, get down on your knees and in profound humility, ask God for everything he has for you. Ask him to show you. Ask him to change you. Ask him to fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit's power. Do you know that, and I'll bring this article and show you at some point. It's really powerful. It's from my friend Ed Stetzer. I love Ed Stetzer. He says that in the United States, one of the only denominations in the whole United States that's growing is one that absolutely believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And part of the reason is because so much of what we've taught and what we've put out there in our Christianity is cerebral. It's thought-based. It's an acknowledgement. It's intellectual, rational arguments. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes to fill you, you know it. You know it. It's demonstrative. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And you walk away going, you know what? I've just received a touch from God himself. And he wants to touch you like that. He wants to fill you like that. I want to pray for you. If you need prayer today, these folks would love to pray for you, lay hands on you, pray for you, that God would come and fill you in a fresh new way. Lord, have your way in every heart here today. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that hasn't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, or maybe has walked away from that commitment, Lord, I pray right now they'd come back to you. You can do that by just praying something very simple like this. Lord Jesus, I need you. I've messed it up and I need you. Forgive me and come into my heart and embrace me in your love and show me your ways. Help me to live for you. If you prayed that, come.